All right, you are walking us in today, baby.
Oh, I'm so excited. Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol. Oh, I'm burping.
Please keep that.
And I'm Carol, and this is season 6, episode 3 of Sticky Pickles. All the cats are gray and dong dong.
What?
My title is Don Dong. Don Dong.
Can we just skip straight to yours? Dun, dun, dun.
All right, Maria, you're kicking us off this week. Let's put some sunshine into our lives. Tell us about All the Cats Are Gray.
All the Cats Are Gray. I'm going to disappoint some fans of The Cure right now and just put it out there. This has nothing to do with the song. I'm sorry.
I was thinking that song, you know, all the cats are gray. And the sky
that's all the leaves are brown. I know. California dreaming. Yeah, none of that. None of that. So... we have Contessa and Primrose.
Wow, those are names.
They are. Would you like to guess the names of the owners of these names? The names of the owners. My God. Too much caffeine? Would you like to guess the ages of the owners of these names?
Primrose and Contessa?
Yes.
I have no idea. I'm going to say they're 150.
Yeah, it's like either very old or very young, right? Like I could see babies with this name as sort of like a retro thing now.
Yes.
Like I remember when Amelie was the name every other child had in the 90s because of the movie.
Yes. And Jennifer Aniston.
Yes. And now it's like those names sound ancient or something. It's so funny. Yeah. So Contessa and Primrose, in this case, indeed, they are in their golden years. They are very, very retired. Don't know what day of the week it is ever, which is a blessing when you're retired. It's just great. Just life is leisure and wonderful. And, you know, they're friends. They find ways to do friend things because either one of them's widowed, the other one has a husband who she's always trying to get out of the house. So they're just always trying to find ways to have fun without the husbands.
Husband. Get out of there. Yeah.
Get out of there. So they do, I guess, normal golden years lady stuff of going out to the library or going shopping or having tea or whatever.
Taking a ride in a bus.
But in their town opened a new establishment by the name of Sir Meow Meow.
Sir Meow Meow?
Sir Meow Meow. And they're as intrigued by that name as you and I are.
Is it a sex club?
Well, the windows aren't blacked out, so...
okay.
It doesn't look like it would be a sex club. You can see clear through the front windows, and it's a delightful scene when you look inside. There are all sorts of tables and cafe chairs and lots of coffee and tea.
Oh, okay. And so it's like a cafe.
Yeah, it's a cafe, and there are...
cat cafe!
Yes, it's a cat cafe. Sir Meow Meow's a cat cafe.
Yay!
Yes. So Contessa and Primrose go into this super cozy, really chill, lovely, non-smelly cat cafe. Because, Carol, have you been to a cat cafe?
I have. I've been a few times. I think I was definitely in one in Manchester, and I think I was in one in Berlin, of all places.
Oh.
Which sounds really posh or crazy.
Was it like a techno cat cafe?
Yeah. They're all wearing shades. And like they're all hairless.
And like leather trench coats for some reason. You're like, what? Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
They're more chill for the cats too. Like shelters are very stressful places for these cats a lot of the times. And, you know, cafes are much more like they're not as crowded and they get to roam, which they like
they're
to
do. They're not in a cage.
They get to get scritches. Know? Yeah. Because who wants to be in a cage, right? Maybe some of those folks in Berlin. I don't know. But I love laughing at my own offhand comments. Yes. Contessa and Primrose are really enjoying their time at Sir Meow Meow's. And they actually decide that they're going to go there every week. Every Thursday, they're going to hang out at Sir Meow Meow's for afternoon tea. And isn't it like lovely and cozy to have like a weekly friend date and then at a place that's as nice as Sir Meow Meow's?
Yes.
Making friends with all the kitties.
I would love it.
I know, same. So Contessa, at one point, Contessa and Primrose are having their tea, and there's like five cats around them, and they're all purring, and it's wonderful. Contessa is just waxing on about how much she loves all of these cats. And she goes, oh, how can you decide which one is your favorite? They're all so wonderful. I love them all. They're all great. I could never choose which one is better and which one's worse, right? And Primrose is like, that's the right attitude. All cats are wonderful. All cats are equally beautiful and great. And yeah, I couldn't choose a favorite either. That's true.
Okay, so they're having a grand old time.
Yep. Having a nice time. Yeah. Contessa, a couple weeks later, and she notices on one of the billboards in the side wall, it says, interested in taking one of our cats home. Please let the front desk know if you want to give one of our kitties a forever home.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Cute. Forever.
She's intrigued. I will admit. Now, so Contessa's the widow in this case. So she comes home to an empty apartment. But she's realized over these weeks visiting Sir Meow Meow that it's nice to have company. And maybe having a cat wouldn't be so bad. Maybe they're not as much work as she thought they would be.
It's an excellent decision, I think, Contessa.
Yeah. She goes to the front desk. She fills out the paperwork. And they ask her, is there a specific cat that you're interested in? And she goes, you know, they are all really wonderful. All these cats are so great. It's so hard to choose. But there is this one that I have my eye on, and it's that one there. And she points to one of the gray cats, because there's a lot of them. And she goes, that one. And the front desk happened to know, and she happened to know that one's cat's name is Quicksilver. Quicksilver's this beautiful Siberian blue.
So she's bonded with Quicksilver.
Yeah, Quicksilver has bonded with her.
If she's going to take one home, that's the one she wants.
Yeah, it's going to be Quicksilver. Yeah, because he's like, Quicksilver right. is the cat that when he sees Contessa come into the door, he walks right up to her, starts rubbing against her legs, purring, and he always sits down right next to her. Like, he has picked her as his favorite. And she knows it. So she's like, okay, if I'm taking a cat home, it's Quicksilver, for sure. And the friend is like, oh, yeah, definitely. And writing down all the information and, thank you, Contessa, for your interest in Quicksilver. Thank you for your down payment on the cat. We will bring him to your house.
Whoa, okay.
Tomorrow. We'll come with him in a cat carrier. Yeah, I mean, there's no need for this to take any longer. We'll bring him to your house in a cat carrier, and we'll help him get acclimated. The next day comes. Contessa's at home. Ding dong. There is one of a different staff member, but one of the staff from the cafe with a cat carrier with a blanket over right at the door. He goes, here we are. Here's your cat. And they close the door behind them, and they open the front gate of the cat carrier, and phew, there's this gray streak just goes screaming out of the carrier and under whatever that cat finds.
Uh-huh. Hiding under the,
you know, it's a gray cat streak. So Contessa's feeling pretty good. Like, indeed, Quicksilver is finding his way around my house. I've made it all cat cozy, and hopefully he recognizes this place smells like me, so he'll be at ease soon. Okay, so the cat employee leaves, and Contessa's like, I wonder how long it's going to take for Quicksilver to come out and, you know, like, make himself known. A day passes, 2 days pass, a week passes. Contessa.
And the cat's not shown up. Like, the cat's just.
This cat is a master at hide and go seek.
Okay.
Like, he's clearly eating and using the litter box. So she knows that this cat is not ill and is doing all the things it needs. So she's keeping food and water replenished and cleaning the cat box. All that stuff is good. This cat's just hiding. So she's been like peeking under the bed and under the sofa, and where the hell is this cat? And a couple more days pass, and eventually she hears like I see if I can make this sound. That's a very bad imitation. The sound of like pitter patter of cat claws on wooden floors. It's like this very delicate little sound. I can't do it. Whatever. I tried. And she sees a gray cat turn its head around the corner and meow at her. And she's delighted. And then her face falls as she realizes it's not Quicksilver.
Oh, they gave her another cat on purpose. They duped her.
She's thinking, she's realizing it's been like a week and a half.
Right.
Has no one at the cat cafe noticed that Quicksilver is still there?
Oh.
And that she has a different cat with her, and she's some dark thoughts are in her head.
Yeah.
And they gave me a less desirable gray cat, thinking I wouldn't know the difference. I am pissed. They can't get one over on me like that. Just because I'm a senior, you think they think I'm not going to be able to tell which cat I chose? I'm gonna give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to call them right now. And Primrose is going, wait a second. Contessa, you said all the cats are equally lovely. It doesn't, like, you couldn't choose between them. So, yeah. So what does it matter? You have a cat in your house. This cat is making itself known. Give it a name. It's clearly starting to get comfortable with you. What does it matter if it's not Quicksilver?
Oh, yes. She did say that
stuff. Contessa's like, Primrose, it matters. This is a matter of principle. They're trying to rip me off.
Uh-huh.
That they're giving me the wrong cat.
Uh-huh. It's a matter of principle. Yeah. It's a hard one, though. Oh. Because the cat's been there for a week, right?
Like a week and a half now. Yeah. And again, nobody from the cafe has been like, hey, we noticed that Quicksilver's still here and we thought you adopted him. So this is really strange. Nobody said anything. So Contessa walks into the cat cafe. Cat not in. She's not going to try and shove a cat into a carrier. The cat is at home. Contessa's at the cat cafe and she walks up to the counter and goes, I demand to speak to your manager right now.
Whoa. Okay. So she goes in tough. Yep.
Yeah, I just got my scariest Karen voice on. I'm sorry. I just scared myself a little bit. and the manager comes out. I'm sorry, ma'am. What's the issue? Contessa downloads the whole thing about wrong cat. And the manager's going, oh, I'm so sorry that this happened. That, you know, we rehome cats now and then. You know, it's not a big deal. So please tell me, is the cat really badly like urinating all over your floors or damaging the walls or anything like that? And Contessa's like, no, the cat's been very, very good about not scratching where I don't want him to scratch. He goes, okay. And is he defecating outside of his litter box or like meowling at all hours of the night? And Contessa's like, no, nothing like that. And the manager's thinking, okay, so is he like destroying your curtains or knocking over all your glassware or shredding up your couch?
Yep.
And Contessa's like, no, actually, no, none of those things. And the manager's going, well, I don't really see the issue with the cat that you have. What's the problem?
Yeah. And her issue is, it's because I wanted that cat. I wanted that cat. And
Contessa's
I get that.
Like, why don't you understand? This is not the cat I want.
Yeah.
And the manager's going, I don't understand what's wrong with the cat you've got.
Yeah.
All right. So if you were Contessa, would you dig your heels in more? Or would you just go, you know, it's been a week and a half. This cat's actually very well behaved. I can just live with it.
Is the cat that I want still freely there and available?
Quicksilver is somewhere around in the cafe. Yes, he has not been adopted out yet. Yes. In fact, he's rubbing against Contessa's leg right now going, hey.
I think I'm applying like some level of philosophy 101 here because.
Are you trying to find a middle path?
Well, I'm just trying to think, okay, it's not really fair on a cat, kind of take him out of a place, put him in somewhere place and then go, oh yeah, you're not want to go back to the place. Okay. But neither of the places are hell holes. It's not like she's saving the cat from a horrible place or vice versa. So both places are fine.
Right.
It's not the cat she wanted and she was specific and she put a down payment with the assumption she would get Quicksilver.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the guilt trip is not very cool from their part because it's not about how it behaves. However, it's a charity and their job is to get cats in, get cats out, not to like be whimsical about it and cater to people in that way, maybe, right? Their job is to save cat lives. And that one should be done.
Yeah, but can they be just completely indiscriminate about which ones they assign to people, even if people are like, I want that one, and I've bonded with that one?
Oh,
I sound like maybe this has happened to me. So
there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
This actually happened to me, except it was a very different kind of all-around situation. It was not.
What did you do?
So I instantly recognized the cat that I had been given. One of the two cats I had been given was the wrong cat. And I called them up right away and I was like, you gave me the wrong cat.
You're like, you screwed up.
Yeah. And the cat in question is a black cat. And there were a lot of black cats there. And I was like, I guess they confused black cats or something. But anyway, I was like, please give me the correct black cat that actually sat down next to me and was like very bonded with me. And now 10 years later, I still have them and they're wonderful. So,
but see, that's the thing. I do believe in bondy stuff, right?
Like, yeah. Eric and I, at the time we were debating, we're like, maybe we should just keep this cat and also get our other one. But then we would have three cats in a small house. It's like a lot. Our max was two. So, and the other cat was like terrified of me, whereas the one that we actually adopted loved me. So
there you go.
It's like, this actually happened to me.
Okay. Ooh, sorry. Jeez, let me turn this off.
Hey, It's the notification that we need to stop with Maria's story about cats and move on to something more interesting, like yours called Ding Dong, Don Don.
Okay, I've changed the name.
Okay.
So it's All the Cats Are Gray and the Ball Sack.
No, the Ball Sack?
Yes.
No.
The Ball Sack.
No. We're going to put that on the internet?
Yes.
I have to put that on Twitter? The name of the episode yes. is Ball Sack in it? Girl, what yes. are you doing to me? Okay, hit me. Hit me with the Ball Sack.
All right, we have Aaron and Irving. Okay, and they've lived together for a dozen years or so. They're, you know, an independent couple, but they're quite a steamy couple, particularly in the whole bedroom lark. So, hot tamales, okay? Tried all the positions, tried all the outfits, the doctors, the police, the fire. They've done it all.
Can we go back to cats? I'm just kidding.
They've done the handcuff thing. They've done the swing thing. They've done the cat of nine tail thing. Oh, so cats.
There are cats. Okay. Yep.
Irving, you know, and Aaron love to go out as well. Like they like to go out to little, you know, late night events that might happen around town. You know, beautiful people doing beautiful things. But they haven't been in a while. And that's largely because Erin's been in a bit of a grump. Understandably, because her interim boss is a class A ball sack. Okay? He's sarcastic. He mocks her and the coworkers. She has to tolerate this dick face for 6 long months before her lovely normal boss returns from maternity leave.
Okay.
And it sucks, right? Maybe it's also because it's winter. It's January. It's dark. It's cold. It's gross out. And on a particular Wednesday, Aaron slams the phone down, right? Irving hears her grumping that she has to do a presentation for her boss because he needs it in the morning because that's when he's giving it. And how dare he just hand this over to her like, you know, it's not some massive fucking favor. You know, she is pissed, like P-I-S-S-E-D pissed.
Okay. Yep.
And Irving is a total dude husband, right? He rushes over. He says, listen, baby doll, don't let that asshead ruin your life. And she's like, ball sack, not asshead. and he goes, don't worry, we're going out. I'm finding us some entertainment, preceded by Mikey's Burgers. This is the best burger joint in town. And then we're going to come home. We're going to throw 2 hours into that presentation. And then we're going to hit the love sack. Winky, winky.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
How could you say no to that invite? You know, perfect.
Okay.
Have you been to any late night clubs or late night events?
Not of this kind, no. I mean, I've been clubbing, but no sex clubs or anything like that.
I went to one once. My friends took me for my birthday, and I got called on stage, and it was like a sexy, dancey, strip-teasy type place.
Oh, my goodness.
I was so uncomfortable.
Oh my God.
It's a really mortifying experience. And you know what I got for just showing up and acting like a fucking 2x4 rod? Because I, you know, they're like, dance, dance.
And you're like,
I'm like, oh my God. they gave me nipple tassels. So there you are.
And do you still have these nipple tassels?
No, I've given them to the friend who took me for her 40th.
So gotcha. She got them. Yeah. I would probably melt from embarrassment in the front
yes.
of the door to the club and not even be able to go in because I'd be just an embarrassed puddle.
Exactly.
It is
exactly.
No judgment on people who enjoy it. I just want to be clear. I just
yeah. I don't mind watching it. Not a fan of being on stage without any warning, without any moves in my pocket.
For any context in my case, I'm the same. I can do podcasts behind a microphone where nobody can see me.
Exactly.
But you put me on a stage and I'm like, oh God. So yeah.
Well, it turns out Irving's looking for something for them to do tonight, right? But Wednesday is not a hot, hot night in the city. So they end up at an amateur stripper night, okay? And I'm thinking, well, at least we're going to have a laugh, right?
Okay.
So they get there, they've had their burgers, they're feeling great, and they sit down and they pay the fee and stuff. And first up is busty Brenda, and she does this act with a stuffed snake. It's okay, right? Then you've got Leggy Lucy. She does like this Jane Fonda workout striptease thing. Great tunes, but odd moves. Didn't do anything for them.
Okay, yep.
And finally, says the MC, we have a newcomer. Okay. Don Dong. Okay.
Don Dong.
Out struts this tall, lanky guy in a cowboy getup. And he starts grinding and circling his hips, right? He's tapping his steely cowboy toes, or cowboy boot toes.
Oh, my God.
And he's holding his cowboy hat low, so he's being mysterious. And he has all the moves. And Erin perks up a bit, right? And she whispers over to Irving. She's like, we've never played cowboys before. You know, and Dong Dong sashays and pulls out a lasso and does shimmy shimmy. And Erin feels her skin getting all goosebumpy, right? And she's turning into goo in places. And she groans a little bit when he unvelcros his chaps, right, with a swoosh.
Have you been watching the miniseries Welcome to Chippendales? Because it sounds like, yeah.
No! No! Does that exist?
It does. It's great.
Okay.
It's
great. Okay. Okay, I will watch it now, and I'll say they can learn from me.
It's about the absolutely mental story behind Chippendales and the guy who started it. It's crazy.
Okay.
It's really good.
I would love to
yeah,
watch
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Okay. So she's dying to see this guy, right? She's dying to see, well, you know, it's amateur night. You know, how far is this guy going to go, right? Some go all the way, some don't. So he stomps and kicks off his plaid shirt, right? Rips off his undershirt, turns around and throws off his cowboy hat with one hand and his little thong with the other before spinning around for his final reveal. And it's Aaron's ballsack boss, whose pet name really should be changed to Big Dong, because he's standing there, starkers, blinded by the hot lights and covered in sweat. So, Maria, Aaron's feelings of, I don't know if you can call them lust, I don't know what you call them, but they kind of turn to grit. She's mortified, right? And revolted at the same time, because he's such a douche. He's such a douche of a guy. Such a ball sack of a guy.
Yeah.
And she found this kind of cowboy shindig sexy is just mortifying to her.
It retracts, basically.
it really retracts.
Yes.
Now, thank the gods, he doesn't show that he's seen her, and probably hasn't, because the lights are all in his face, right? There's probably very little chance he's seen her. It's dark club, all the stuff. But this is explosive information to have about a ballsack boss. So, Maria, what do you do?
Does one need to do anything?
No. No. You can carry on with your job with this guy who, for the next 6 months, is going to treat you like shit.
I mean, I like to err on the side of discretion.
Chicken shit. It's a make-believe situation.
I know, but... So here's the thing, as tempting as it might be to be like, I could blackmail him or something, like, he doesn't have a problem with doing this, because clearly he's not, I mean, he's out there on stage, it's not like he's hiding. Yeah, if he could be like, I saw you at the club, he'd be like, so what? Everybody saw me at the club. He's not ashamed of it.
A lot of people like to keep their lives private, I've found. Some people have different, you know, lanes for different activities. Not everybody, but there's some people.
I do agree with that, but I would say, especially in this day and age, if you're going to literally get on a stage, it's not like she bumped into him at the bathroom line at the club and he was just there attending it. He was on the stage. He wanted to be
seen.
Right.
So she should go up to him and what? Say, nice show?
Like, I saw you. You were, yeah, like, wow. Maybe they could become like friends or something. And maybe he'll be less of a ball sack since he doesn't feel like he has to like be a second person at work. He can sort of let it hang. maybe he'll relax or something, knowing that he doesn't have to pretend to not be schlongerific.
Thank you, Mother Teresa, for that.
I mean, I don't know how to blackmail somebody about
that. A ball sack. It's not about blackmailing, though. I think also, like, you could, for example, tell other people at work.
Yeah, well, I mean,
going, you won't believe what happened yesterday. You know that
when I was also at the sex club. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You would have to admit that you were at the
sex
club.
Yeah, you'd be
That's
like,
true.
I was at the sex club. And then people would be kind of be like, you were at the what? Oh, you saw him there. But
amateur night, though. Amateur night.
Yeah. I mean, it is a bit of juicy goss. I won't lie. But
about someone who's not very nice.
And I saw his dick. Yeah.
Like, I'd love to be like, I wouldn't say a word to anyone. I would never, you know, say anything. But because the guy is such a douche, that would be very difficult.
All right. So here's where my brain is going. This guy's an asshole and he's also an exhibitionist.
Yeah.
My gut is telling me that he wants people to know that he's doing this. And if anything gets out at work about him doing this stuff, he'd probably be really proud of it. And he'd become insufferable about it. He would probably like, now since everybody knows, I'm just going to like walk around in like a, you know, super tight pants all the time and just talk about like all this crazy kinky shit at work.
And he come over to your desk and just lay his junk on the corner.
Yeah, or just like always be sitting really wide legged and
with his hands behind his head.
Yeah, just be
nothing to hide. Like, nothing to hide.
Yeah, exactly. He would just double down and become extremely disgusting. So you would not only have an asshole of a boss who wants to show you his asshole, and then it's just like, no, thank you. So there you go.
That's it for this week, Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Get off your butts and review, or don't. But it would be nice. Really nice.
It would be. It would be really nice. And thank you for the sweet comments we got on Twitter. We have some really nice people saying how we're like making their day and brightening them up, especially this kind of dark, dreary time of year. That's why we do this. And, you know, Kroll and I really love doing this, and it makes us happy to talk to each other and make each other laugh. So we're glad we're helping you guys all out too. Great.
We actually got a comment from someone that said we provide mild amusement to his ears. So, yes. So thank you for that. Thank you for that, Matthew.
Mild amusement. We're here. We're here to be mild.
He does say he looks forward to every new episode, though. So there you
That's
go.
That's great. Mild amusement. Anyway, if you would like some updates about when mild amusement is forthcoming from us, you can follow us on social media at Sticky Pickles on Twitter, at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. StickyPickles.com is where you can find all our past episodes and, you know, shower us with love and all that good stuff.
And don't be shy. We need love like people need caffeine. See you next week.
Bye.